See now, I want to bring your attention to the bulletin. On the front cover, it says March 26th. I was wrong. I had changed the front cover of the bulletin because below it says 9:45. That's right now. So I was right. And I was wrong. Open that bulletin up. On the right-hand side, I want you to look down at the bottom. The old mountain genius, Brother Scott Richardson, wrote something. He said, two times you ought to pray for your preacher. When he's right, I did that. And when he's wrong, I did that. That means all the time. I didn't know I was going to live it today, did I? If you will, let's open our Bibles to Genesis. Genesis chapter 34. And just as an announcement, I'm sure most of y'all have seen there in the back, the remodel is finished. It's done. 2 days ahead of schedule. There's nothing to be added to it and nothing to be removed. It's done. Okay. Well, let's see. Genesis 34. The title of this message is Defiled, Deceived, and Delivered. This is one of the darkest chapters in the Scripture, I feel. Whenever I read it, it's heavy. It's dark, and I really have no desire to read it out loud. As I told you all yesterday, go home and read this. Don't read it to intellectualize yourself or spiritualize it, or don't try to get discernment from it. Just read it to see what it says. This really happened. This was a real life story. It's a true story, isn't it? We're taught some of the Lord's strong warnings from this chapter. There's a lot of warnings we need. We need to be taught. And people say, well, Kevin, now you ought not talk about those things. Y'all just talk about grace and love and happiness. How did Noah know to build that ark? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen. Lord told him. Moved with fear. Lord warned him. He obeyed. Gave him faith. No, faith was obedient, wasn't it? And he prepared the ark to the saving of his house. I need warned. You need warned. We need warned, don't we? There's a lot of things people don't know, and there's nobody equipped to tell us but God. God sent a man to teach me something because I didn't know it. And I've said some things over the last year or two, and I thought, well, I had no business saying that. Nobody ever told nobody. Look at me like a mouse doing a math problem. Oh, nobody ever said that to him. God never sent a man to preach to him. I should have known better. Lord gives us warnings. I looked through some of these names, and we'll see this play out. I'm going to say Dina. It's Dinah, probably. But I'm going to do my best to say Dinah. I'll probably go back to saying Dina. But Dinah. Names means justice. Justice. She's justified. That's who she is. Simeon. Hearing. Those that hear. Get that? Levi. That's the tribe of the priests, wasn't it? Attached after the same heart of God. Give them pastors after mine own heart. They're attached to me. I'm attached to you through them. So let's read this. Genesis 34, verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah. Did that say daughter of Jacob? You reckon we can learn something from that? You women know how to deal with daughters. And there used to be a TV show in this nation called Father Knows Best. And do the poor pulpits on this world, I can't say that anymore. Fathers have abandoned the Word of God to the point where there's no sound instruction. And I hear instruction all over this county and this place of just horrible. And it's against the Word of God. They don't know those things. But Dinah was close to Mommy. Mommy had talked to her, hadn't she? Verse 1. Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Has anything changed in our day? Dinah was about 15 years old. She wanted to go see what the other girls was doing around town. Was having a dance or a party or something. I don't think they was going to the county board of supervisors meeting, was they? You reckon that was what? No. I'd have interest in those things. They don't. Going out to be with them. She's about 15 years old, and this world's just teeming with life. It's up for grabs. Let's go see what they got to offer out there. I want to see what's going on. And she was defiled, wasn't she? Verse 2 says, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor, Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and he lay with her and he defiled her. She was defiled. Marriage is honorable in all things, the Hebrew writer told us, and the bed is undefiled. They weren't married. She was defiled. Dina was defiled. You know what we would call that in our day? Statutory rape. She consented. This is important. You get this. She consented, but she wasn't old enough to know any better. She wasn't equipped to handle the pressure. She wasn't equipped to handle all that allurement of this prince of the country. This little rich fellow is handsome and young. This is us. Do you know that? We're willingly defiled in our old man by this world. And Satan defiled the mother of us all, didn't he? We'll see that later on, adding just a little bit to God's word. Misusing God's word. Handling this. We'll learn next hour, keep our tongues. And I need to keep my tongue too. This needs to be said. Premarital sex is wrong. We ain't got a whole lot of young people in this congregation, but it needs said. And it ain't never too late to say it. Even if you're old, say it. Premarital sex is wrong. And people are always amazed that when they live in direct opposition to what the Lord says, things turn south. They're like, well, what happened? I can't believe this didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to. God says so. What's wrong with us? Shechem was the ruler's son. He was the rich kid in town. His daddy was in charge, and he was going to inherit the place. You ever worked for the son of a boss? My boss is a boss's son, and that makes for a real long day, that fellow from my neck of the woods wrote. He was a smooth talker, just like his father. He's rich, likely handsome. He's a little bit older than Dinah, and he's seen a little bit more of the world than she had some more experiences, and he's just as dangerous as any other boy that age. I'm in awe that I'm so slow to learn, and we are so slow to learn from our forefathers and learn from the mistakes of others. I'm in awe of it. We're supposed to be bound to what God said, aren't we? It confounds me. It's because we don't know the Word of God. We err because we don't know the Word. That's what the Lord said, wasn't it? You do err. You don't know the Scriptures. You don't know the Word of God. Verse 3 said, and his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel, and he spake kindly to the damsel. When? After the fact. After the fact, didn't he? Robert Hawker, this is what I got to say. I read a lot of commentaries on this chapter. Few men have preached from it. Few men that I'd listened to have preached, very few. And I've read most of the commentaries, and most of them's wrong. Surely a man didn't err. Yeah, most of them missed the mark. They missed it. Jacob was in the right, and these boys was in the wrong. You watch and see what this word says. It ain't right. There's one commentator that did a good job on these first 9 verses, Robert Hawker. I'm going to read you his whole commentary. I'm going to read you his whole commentary on these first 9 verses. You ready? This was lust, not love. That's it. That's all he had to say about it. And he's right. It's short and sweet. He didn't do no preaching of the gospel in it, but he's right. Verse 4 says, and Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. Get me. That's the attitude of the sons of Adam, isn't it? Get me this. Get me that. Get me saved. Huh? How about it? Get me this damsel to wife. Get me good things. Get me heaven. Get me out from underneath this law. Is that what man says? Do you want to be underneath the law? You want to be a slave? I have no desire to do that. I drive a car. If I got me a, it don't matter if it's a Yugo or a Porsche, Bob. I don't want a speed limit. Do you? Get that traffic out of my way. I want to drive however fast I feel like driving. Slow, fast, it don't make a difference. Get me. Get me. What Hamor's attempting is against the Word of God. You know that? Turn over to Deuteronomy 7. This will be the only time we turn. Deuteronomy 7. Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 7. Paul had told us in the New Testament, said, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Did I heed that? Nope. Did I know better? Yep. Did I hate it? No. Was God faithful? Did he bless me in spite of myself? He sure did. Does that mean we ought to encourage people to tempt God? Absolutely not. Not try it our own way, not do the best we think. Do what God says. Believe Christ. Love him. That's what we looked at Wednesday, wasn't it? Love him and then obey his commandments. Not obey his commandments so he'll love you. Love him and then do what he says. He's wise. He's right, isn't he? Look here at Deuteronomy 7. We read this verse here often, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of people. We need that in context, don't we? Do you know what the context that is? Look up verse 3. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, because, for, they will turn away thy son from following me. The good apple ain't going to make that whole barrel of bad ones good. You understand that? For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. Not against them, against you. And destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. What you're preaching is wrong. What you believe is wrong. And we can do that kindly. We don't have to be mean about it. But it ain't right. Don't entertain them unbelievers. Don't date them. Don't marry them. Verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Well, Lord, there ain't nobody else around. How are we going to be a people? And there ain't going to be no more people if I don't find some people. We got to do something, don't we, Lord? Verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. Not because you had 12 children apiece. For you were the fewest of all people. That's why he set his love upon us. We were the weakest. We were the ones that had the most need. He said, now do what I say. You marry who I tell you to marry. He loves us. He's right. Now back in our text. Word got back to Jacob. And this defilement. Genesis 34, verse 5. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field. And Jacob held his peace until they were come. We'll see us next hour in Psalm 39. But I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good. Even from saying something good. I didn't say nothing bad. I didn't say nothing good. And my sorrow was stirred. Inside of me just burned up. Was Jacob here waiting on the Lord? Was he holding his tongue in wisdom? We'll see soon that wasn't the case. He's a chicken. He's a coward. You understand that? The man who had just built that altar we looked at last time to the Lord that rules. The Lord God Almighty rules in Israel, rules for Israel, and rules by Israel. Now he's quiet at the very time he should not be. He held his tongue. Isn't that horrible? This whole situation is horrible. Why are they here? Why are they in this land? Jacob had a fear of his brother, and he had a heavy limp, didn't he? I didn't write that down to this morning. I couldn't hardly walk up here. I got a heavy limp today. I don't want to walk 1,000 miles. Do you know that? It hurts. Lord said, go to Bethlehem. Well, I tell you what, man, my hip's hurting. And the Lord gave me this limp, didn't he? And so instead of going to Bethel, it must be okay for me to neglect Bethel, the house of God, and stay here. Right? Well, I'm hurting. Ow. Of course it's okay. God made me that way, just like Jonah on his way to Tarshish. Well, if the Lord didn't want me going to Tarshish, he wouldn't have had a ticket there for me. Buddy. I know there's some around this country that have physical trouble. But like that man lowered through the roof by his friends, they get someone to bring him. There's a need. We'll take a roof off this place and lower me. I have a need to be there. Jacob still, he was saved. Lord dealt with him. Lord wrestled with him. Lord taught him. He didn't have a need yet. Not truly, not fully. Lord had to teach him. Jacob, your daughter's defiled. Not a word. Verse 6. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. My friend Darvin preached this. He called Hamor old smoothie. So, I didn't watch it. He didn't bring an army with him, did he? He didn't bring his armed guards with him. He didn't come with threats. He didn't come with violence. He came to commune. How pious. How churchy. He's a businessman, isn't he? Well, let's come and break bread together. I bet his octaves were all up, messed up, and goofy voice. And Jacob was willing to hear this man out. Jacob was willing to commune with him. But the sons of Jacob, they were a little more in tuned. God taught them something. Look here in verse 7. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they had heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because they had wrought folly in Israel in line with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to have been done. It ought not to have been done. They're mad about it. Rightfully so, wasn't it? Now he speaks to the sons of Hamor speaks to the sons of Jacob, verse 8. And Hamor communed with them, he spoke to all of them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife." Notice how the talk of love came after the act. You know that? They're covering up at defilement. Oh, that's water under the bridge. We don't need to talk about that. He loves her. Oh, this is lovey, isn't it? Don't talk about sin. We're here for the good times. We're here for coloring books. We're here for pageantry and shows and bake sales and everything else. Sin was committed. It's got to be dealt with, don't it? If Shechem loved Dinah, he would not have defiled her. He would have honored her. God says so. If he loved her, he would not have defiled her. He would have honored her. He loved himself. Verse 9 says, "And you make marriages with us, and give us and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade therein, and get you possessions therein." This is going to be great. You're really going to increase. There's going to be a gain to you. You can marry our daughters, and we'll marry your daughters, and everybody's just going to live happy together. The land's big. You just stay here and set up shop, and business is going to be booming. We're going to have cookouts together, and we're going to watch our children grow up. Don't just rest here for a couple of years because that limp. You put down roots. That sounds good, don't it? But they ain't in Bethel. They ain't in the house of God. How come Dina was in that area? These things come to pass? Why was she there when this happened? A little bit of disobedience. That crushed me. What folly is going to come to my lineage because of my great disobedience? A little bit of neglect. God will bring it to your living room. He's done it, hasn't he? Oh, what a shame. Doesn't he just cry out to God for salvation and mercy? Lord, be with me. You read these things. Christ has saved his people from our sin, but we don't condone rebellious behavior, do we? We don't do it. Self-righteous see that and they say, "Well, you're given a license to sin." A child of God says, "I have no desire to sin. I do all the things I wish to did, and I don't do what I wish to did." Here's a compromise. See if it jumps out to you. These sons of Jacob got a hold of this real quick. They saw through it. I see through some things too. You do. Look here, verse 11. "And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes." Well, that sounds good, don't it? "And what ye shall say unto me, I'll give it. Ask me never so much dowry and a gift, and I will give you according as ye shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife." Oh, let me have grace in your eyes. Grace. The prayer of the Pharisee in that temple sounded so good at a glance, didn't it? Oh, God, I thank you. You've made me good. Look at all things. I do this and I do that. Oh, grace is spoken of here, isn't it? Does that say grace? It says grace, don't it? But it's not in knowledge and it's not in understanding. You can't buy it. You can't trade for grace. You can't buy grace. Men in our day, they preach and they use the word grace. And then they tell you, you must do something. God saved his people in the blood of Christ. Nothing in them. He was gracious to them while they hated him. That's when he saved them. And then he comes to them while they still hate him. And he shows them what they are. Shows them who he is. And he gives them a new heart and they love him. They can't keep from it. Mankind says, what's quid pro quo? You give me grace, I'll give you whatever you ask. This for that. Paul said he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings and evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men corrupt minds. And the destitute of truth, supposing the gain is godliness. I think, oh, that's what they're saying. We're going to get a whole bunch out of this, and we talked it to death. We had a big word salad of churchy words. That turns me out so bad, I'm telling you. I avoid conversations of such talking. I don't want nothing to do with it. Oh, If you have questions, we'll learn next hour. My pastor told me, and his pastor told him, and on down the line. You sit and be quiet and listen. You want to learn something? You got a bunch of questions? Sit down and hush. You can't learn nothing when you're talking. Well, I learned this and I learned that. You ain't learned nothing. Hush. Be instructed by God. That's how He's going to teach people. That's how God's going to teach. And Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what gain is. These boys of Jacob, they saw through this. They heard the words that came out of the heart of those God-hating rebels that happened to come out of their mouth. Can't fake it. You can have some words that sound like great. They say think gracey things, but the heart's deceitful, isn't it? Physically, I can see through the intentions of a young boy. How? I was a young boy. Right? Can you? Were you a young boy? I got a good handle on what young boys do. I used to be one. Still one back on this side. Ain't nothing different. Women may have some secondary experiences, but I have first-hand experience. I have the mind of a young child. I know what that boy was thinking. Spiritually, so it is in our day. That's why these men, sent of God, warn people. In Paul's day and in our day, withdraw yourself. I see it. You may not see it. I see it. Wolf, leave them alone. Mark them. I know their tactics. Mark them and leave them alone. Would it have been better if she listened to them, her brothers beforehand, you think? You think it'd be better for people in our day to listen to God's men that tell them that, to leave them alone? I'd hope so. Now, this is what the sons of Jacob's going to do. It's wrong. You get that? They're going to be deceitful. I ought not do it. Verse 13. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully. They answered him deceitfully and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said unto him, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised. That's a reproach unto us. It says reproach unto God, though it should be to them. But in this will we consent to. Here's what we'll do. We'll give you some options. If you will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then we will give our daughters to you. We'll take your daughters to us. We'll dwell with you and we'll become one people. We'll all be together. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and we will be gone. We'll hightail it out here and we're heading to Bethel. There's the deceit. What a shame to use the things of God to cause an unbeliever to stumble. They're setting them up for failure. That's what we're told in Leviticus 19. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but thou shalt fear God. That's what they ought to do. They should have broke down and prayed to God, didn't they? But they thought we've got them. We'll go through with this, but every male you got's got to be circumcised. The whole lot of you. The whole outfit. And they're going to say no. Right? These are grown-ups. This ain't the eighth day. They ain't never won babies that ain't going to remember. You're grown-ups. And these boys of Jacob's going to be the ones that do it. You want to think that one over. You don't rush into that, do you? Just like you don't rush into having a spiritual event and you think, oh, I've heard 10 minutes of preaching. I'm saved now forever. Lord asked that fellow, he said, you make me whole. He said, would you be made whole? This is heavy stuff, isn't it? And these boys of Jacob, they said, we got them. They're going to say no, and this will be over, and we can get out of town. We can move on. We can get out of here. If they knew what this token was of circumcision, right? It's just a token. It's a picture of what the Lord does in the heart. And if they do it outwardly, they say, well, we didn't mean outwardly. We meant the Lord's got to save everybody. And if the Lord saves everybody, then we really are one people. And that would solve everything, wouldn't it? The Lord said in Genesis 17, you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be of a token of a covenant. That's not the covenant. Baptism don't save nobody. It's just a token. It just shows what's already been done, isn't it? They do that. Well, it's backfired. They said, we got them either way. They probably ain't going to go for it, especially everybody, right? Verse 18. And these words pleased Hamor and Shechem Hamor's son. You ever said something like, well, we're going to do this. And people said, okay, oh, man. No. And the young man deferred not to do the thing because he had delight in Jacob's daughter and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. He's at least going to stand up and do what he thought was right. Now, though it is an undesirable agreement, an agreement was reached, wasn't it? Here's the sales pitch. Look at verse 20. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came into the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceable with us. Y'all think these are mean fellows? No, these are good people. They're good people. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein for the land. And behold, it's large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. This will be good. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us. This is going to work out great, but they got one condition: to be one people. If every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Whoa, pump the brakes, buddy. Hold on now, Shechem. Hold on, Hamor. What y'all talking about? But he sweetens the deal, don't he? He takes everything that was said and he adds a little bit to it. Has that happened before? Just like that serpent in the garden added a little bit to the word of God. Shall not their cattle, verse 23, shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? We're going to do this. They're going to fall right in, and we got them. We got them. Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. We can suffer a little temporary discomfort, and we can give them our daughters, and we'll have all their possessions. That's the desires of the world, to have the daughters of the sons of Jacob, to have his sons and daughters, to defile them, to use them, to spoil them of our goods, and to fleece them, to sift us as wheat. That's what it wants. Verse 24. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened, all that went out of the gate of his city. And every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. Those boys of Jacob, being deceitful, they were the ones that circumcised these men. And I put a paycheck on it. They didn't do it skillfully. They didn't do it in a sanitary manner, and they weren't gentle. How do I know that? Verse 25. And it came to pass on the third day that when they were sore, everybody there was disabled. Every man, every male in that city, this wasn't a little gathering on the side of the town. This was a city. They had gates, bunch of folks. They were sore. They couldn't do nothing. They were as dead men. You get that? But it was the third day, wasn't it? The third day is that day of resurrection. That is what the work of circumcision in the heart's all about. It. Lord died for us. He rose for us. He gave us a new life. That's what that represents. Verse 25, and it came to pass on the third day when they were sore that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah out of the Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. And they took their sheep and their oxen and their asses that was in the city, and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all their little ones, and their wives took they captive, and spoiled even that was in the house. Dinah was still with those men, wasn't she? She was still in the world this whole time, willingly, I'm sure. And what happened? Two of her elder brothers, two of those six born before she was born to Leah, they came in with a sword, and they killed every man. Remember what their names were? Simeon, the hearing. Levi, the preacher, those that hear and those that preach, they come in with what? Carrying a sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Dinah was willfully defiled, just as we are. Just as we didn't know no different. We come into this world speaking lies, and this world's great. She had an eye for the good things of life. And people fake humility and say, well, I don't want nice things. I've got everything I need. Like, lying? You might be lying. You're lying to yourself. Money can't buy happiness, but it can sure buy comfort, can't it? She had an eye for this good life, just like we do. She was redeemed by her brothers, just like we are. By our elder brother, isn't it? And what is the Lord using this? He said, the greater works you're going to do. What are we supposed to do? God, if God showed up right now and said, I'm going to give you something to do. I want you to change oil in that Hyundai out there. Would you go change oil in that Hyundai? Buddy, we'd be elbow deep in grease before the crow. Do it right then. Lord gave us something to do. He said, go in all the world and preach the gospel. And you walk in this world and act like people that know me and have a little joy, a little pep in your step because I've done something for you, and be merciful to other people, be loving to other people. And that's what I'm going to use to draw people in to hear the preaching of the gospel. Because you got some brethren down there. You got some sisters that's defiled in that city. And he said, well, no, we'd rather that she got what she had coming to her. Let's get on. We're good. We're fine. No, go into all the world. With what? The Spirit of God, with the Word of God, the sword. Tell them what God says. He gave us that to do. I think we ought to. You want to halfway do it? You want to act like we're going to do it? You want to talk about doing it? You want to do it? I want to get after it, don't you? That evil world, it's going to be slain by the Lord's anointed and His word, isn't it? Verse 30. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house." In the Hebrew original, it's all in the perfect tense. And so he's saying, I'm slain, I stink, I'm destroyed, and you are too because you're part of my house. We're dead. We're dead. What'd you do? What'd you do? We're dead. Later on, a few more chapters, he's going to curse them. These ones that were despised, that come in to rescue their daughter, their sister. These ones that come in and slew with the sword. They were despised. They were made a curse. Get that? Did it anyway, didn't they? They bear the brunt of picturing the gospel. Did they cave in and say, "You're right, we'll give her back, we're sorry"? No, they didn't either. Look here in verse 31. And they said, "Should he deal with our sisters as an harlot? Should he deal with our sister as a harlot?" She ain't a harlot anymore, is she? She's saved by grace. Her older brother's coming to God. We're not. That's what we still see ourselves as, isn't it? What are we in the eyes of God? Harmless, perfect, holy, undefiled. Isn't that what he said? That's what we are now, isn't it? These two brothers, they said, should he deal with our sisters as a harlot? We're going to treat her like she's a whore? Leave her to her own devices? No, we're going to go down there with her and go get her and bring her home. At what cost? I don't care. She's the Lord. We're going to go get them. Here's what one of the old writers said. Old Brother Gill wrote this. They tactfully insinuate as if Jacob had not regarded the honor of his daughter and family, and they showed his resentment at the wicked behavior of Shechem as he ought to have done. They were so disrespectful to their father. You better bet they were. He said, they're going to kill me. What God promised him. The Messiah is coming through you. This one, is that us too? Have we built an altar to God and said, we're going to worship him? God's with us. And then turn and just be so scared, that's it, it's all over. God's going to kill me. Right? The Lord's going to use in this generation those that hear and those that preach to call out his people. And you know what? You're going to be cursed, and you're going to be yelled at, and you're going to be looked down upon, and they're going to use good common sense to shame you. That's exactly right. And you know what I say? I'll go, send me. How about you? Lead me, follow me, or get out of my way. The Lord's got people in this town. We ain't going to leave her there to herself, are we? He didn't leave us by ourselves, did he? He didn't leave us to our own devices, defiled, laid in that field, covering our own blood. No, he come and covered us, didn't he? That's what he's done. I have a desire to do that for my brethren. Do you? Let's get after it, huh? Wouldn't that be good? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Our sin's dark. What we are and our desires and our actions, and they're horrible, Lord. We know that. Forgive us for what we are. Put a new spirit in us and a desire to believe Christ and serve our brethren in this generation. To cover their sin and lift them up and point them towards our Lord that did the same for us. Make that desire in us, Lord, and give us the strength to do so. And call out your people from this wicked city, from this wicked earth, as you've promised you will. Use us, Lord, to do so. We're thankful for this. We're thankful for your mercies and your grace, unmerited grace to us, that so undeserving. Thank you for our brethren, Lord. Thank you for those that you've used in generations before to preach to us and support them, that work and labor. And Lord, we pray for those young ones now that you're raising. And the harvest is great, Lord. We ask you to raise up laborers for the harvest. Raise up men in this country after your own heart and have a revival. Save the lot of them, Lord. Thank you for this hour. Forgive us everything we are. For your Son's sake only, Lord, we ask. Amen. All right.